In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As you all heard, the subject for today's gospel is one that's very relevant, and one that's very applicable to the days that we're living in, because it's all about food. All right? And our Lord talked to us today about the bread of life, and about how he's the bread of life. And when you eat this bread of life, it's a special kind of bread that doesn't make you hungry ever again. Now, as we hear a sentence like that, that there's a bread out there which doesn't make us hungry, maybe, like if we had heard it 3 weeks ago, we can kind of remember what it's like to be hungry. Maybe if we had heard it, you know, during Lent, we'd have remembered what it's like. But these days, my guess is that not too many of us understand what it means to be, at least physically, on a hungry level. Because these days are the days where we eat like crazy people. And these are the days where everything around us revolves around our food. And people plan their parties and their vacation and everything around the Holy 50 to make sure that the food is right and set for these things. I would love to sit here and tell you about how that's not like me, but anyone who knows me knows the truth about me, knows I love to eat. Okay, and food is one of the things that I really enjoy doing in life. It's one of the things that gives me a lot of pleasure. I still remember one of the greatest days of my life was at the very beginning when I went away to college. One of the greatest days, one of the happiest days of my life, where, you know, when you go to college, you eat in like the meal hall. And I remember very clearly walking in, and then someone told me, or somehow I figured it out, that there was no limit to the number of times I could go back and grab as much cafeteria food as I wanted. There was no extra charge. There was no nothing. As much as I wanted, I could just keep on going back and forth. I remember telling my roommate, this is the greatest thing in the whole wide world. That what could be better than this? Of course, he laughed at me like I'm an idiot because it was cafeteria food and everyone looks at college food that way. But for me, hey, this was great. As much free food as I wanted, didn't have to pay anything extra or anything like that. The truth of the matter is that we, in our day and time, especially during these Holy 50, like I said, a lot of our life revolves around food. I was looking online, and they said that in this country, you know how we're known around the world for our big portions, United States of America. In this country, the average American eats 16 times his or her weight per year. So whatever your weight is, times 16, that's how much the average, okay? Those of you who enjoy eating a little bit more than the rest, you add a few more on top of that. 16 times. Just to show you, just to compare, the average horse eats 8 times his weight. And the average American eats 16. So therefore, by that calculation, if you would like to lose weight, you need to eat more like a horse, okay? And less like an American. But the thing is, as much as we eat a lot on the and physically we're well fed, as I look at today's gospel, I try to think to myself how God looks down upon our eating and our nourishment when he looks down from heaven. You know, sometimes when you're watching the TV and you see the commercial of the kids in like Ethiopia or wherever, and they're malnourished and they don't eat, and you see like their ribs coming through and you see all their bones, and you say, you know, haram, and that makes sad and stuff like that. Well, I think it's my fear, my greatest fear, that God would look down from heaven one day upon me or upon any one of us, and that's what he would see. That he would see someone who is malnourished. That he would look down upon us, not at our physical state, because physically, I think we're all doing more than good enough. My fear is that he looks down upon me spiritually and looks at me and says, man, that's a real shame that that kid is dying like that. And it's more of a shame for us than it is for that kid in Ethiopia or wherever, because it's sad to see someone dying of starvation. It's really sad to see someone dying of starvation surrounded by food, sitting in an all-you-can-eat Denny's restaurant and dying of starvation. That's what's really, really sad. And that's what sometimes, when our Lord looks down from heaven, I'm afraid that that's what he sees in us. So that's why he gave us the verse for today from John chapter 6, where he said that I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. It's a very powerful verse. Unfortunately for us, we heard it so much, we read it so much, we said it so much, sometimes we get used to it and we don't really take it for what it really is. Do you really understand what this verse means? And before you answer, all right, I want you to really think about, do you want to understand what it means that he says that I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger? See, a lot of us could sit here and say, yes, I know what this means. It's talking about that, yes, when we come to Christ, that, you know, he gives us heaven, and, you know, for all of eternity we'll be in his presence, and we'll be able to rest in his presence one day. Well, that's true, but I don't think that's what the verse means all by itself. I think the verse means so much more than that. And I think that this verse is not a future verse, but a today verse. Because if you look at the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he always said things like, don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. So he's not going to come give us a promise that has to be made waiting for a million years. He's talking about today. And he's saying, today, right now, you can have some kind of bread that when you eat it, you won't get hungry again. And you say, really? Is that possible? And is he being symbolic? No, symbolic. He's telling the truth. He's saying, right now, I can give you something, and if you eat it, you won't be hungry. How is that possible? Again, think about every time we talked for the past month, same thing has came up. Don't look at just the outside. He's not talking about the outside food or the outside hunger. God never cares about the outside. God cares about the inside. And he is saying, again, not symbolically, but literally, that I can give you something today that makes you satisfied on the inside, much more than the outside. What's the inside? The inside is the spiritual hunger, the emotional hunger, my needs that I think I got going on the inside. He's saying, I can take care of those things, and I can do that for you today. How is that possible? Is that possible that God can do that for me today? Well, yes, it's possible. And if you don't believe me, look what King David said. Psalm 23, verse 1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's an example of the bread of life right there. That he said that I have the Lord in my life. He's my shepherd. I don't want any food. I don't want anything else. I'm taken care of. St. Paul said the same thing. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't need nothing. I got everything that I need. Philippians 4, 19, another verse from St. Paul. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's not talking about future stuff, all right? He's talking about right now. And what he's saying is, today I want to give you the bread of life. That means that you don't need to hunger anymore. Imagine, first of all, which is better, the outside bread or the inside bread? Which is more valuable, that my outside hunger is met or that my inside hunger is met? In theory, the inside's more valuable because the inside's what lasts. I don't. The problems I have is usually on the inside. It's not the outside. But let me try to tell you. Let's put it this way. Imagine I opened up a store down the street, and I start selling only one product, only one thing that I'm selling, and it's bread. I'm not even giving away that much. Just little pieces of bread. And the only thing about this bread is that when you eat it, it's magic bread. That when you eat it, you're not hungry the rest of the day. You don't eat for the rest of the day. You can have this one little piece of bread in the morning, and your appetite is filled all day long. How many people do you think would show up at my store if I was charging like $1 million, $10,000 for it? I bet you people would find a way. Let's say that $10,000. Let me make it more affordable. Let's say $100 I'm charging for this piece of bread. You think people would be interested? I bet you I'd have a line all the way down Braddock Road. And now let's change the story. Let's say I'm not even charging for it. Every first day of the month, I give it away for free. You think people would be coming? Man, I bet you I'd have helicopters around my store. I'd have media. I'd have cameras. It wouldn't be a place to park. It'd be packed. It'd be like a zoo over there. Well, now let's say I changed it. And I said, I'm giving away bread. I'm not selling it. I'm giving it away. But it doesn't solve the outside hunger. It solves the inside hunger. And if you eat this bread, you won't be hungry for the rest of the day. What do you think my store would look like? What do you think it would look like? People lining up, cameras, media. Well, I'll tell you what it looked like. When I came this morning at 6:30, there wasn't any cameras around here. When I came in the morning, there wasn't people lined up just trying to break down the door. Because somehow, when it's spiritual, when it's inside, somehow, I don't know, we're not as into it. Is the reason that because it's not as important? No, I believe the reason is because we don't truly believe it. Because we don't truly believe what this verse says. We don't either, A, we don't understand it, or B, we don't believe what it's talking about. And you have every right to. Many of you can sit here and say, okay, Abuna Anthony, this is nice words. This is a great sermon, whatever. I take communion. I eat the bread of life every Sunday. My life isn't any different. I open my Bible every single day, and I have fellowship with the Word of God, and I read my Bible, and I go to Bible study, this and that. I'm starving on the inside. I have all kinds of stuff that isn't being met. I don't feel satisfied in Christ. I don't feel like all my needs are being met and all that kind of stuff. I got lots of problems. So thank you for the nice speech, but it isn't reality. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to use the analogy of a buffet restaurant. Okay? So we're going to God's buffet table today. And I'm going to say that if you go into God's buffet, that you can come out fully satisfied. But there's two rules, all right? There's two things that you got to make sure that you're doing. And if you're not doing them, you don't blame the owner of the restaurant. It's your own fault. And these two rules is things that you can see very, very simply. And both of them relate to your attitude in coming, all right? And the way that is you come. It's not just that you come, but the way that you come. The first thing is I must come with eagerness, all right? I must come with an eager attitude. I must come like wanting to come, not coming in an obligatory way. The other night, for those of you who were here, we had this all-night prayer in Tezbeha going on. And we watched a movie beforehand. And there was a line in the movie that I really, really liked. And I shared it with the people who were here the other night. And the guy said that just because a mouse lives in a cookie jar doesn't mean that it's a cookie. Okay? Very simple. Just because there's a cookie jar and there's a mouse inside doesn't mean that everything on the inside of that jar is a cookie. So there could be things in a cookie jar that isn't cookies. And I say the same thing. Just because you come to church every week and you take communion every week doesn't mean that you have communion with Christ every week. Just because you spend time reading your prayer book doesn't mean you spent a minute in prayer. You can do all the stuff without ever getting any of the food. You can bring your bed and your recliner and your TV and your refrigerator and move into an all-you-can-eat restaurant. That doesn't mean that you're ever going to get any food inside of you. And that's often, sometimes, what our problem is that we do the stuff, but we're not really doing it with the right attitude. Some of you can say that I have prayed 10,000 times. And I can say, I'm not saying it about you, but I'm saying it could be that you haven't prayed ever once. You could have read the Bible 10,000 times and never once heard the voice of God. If you're coming in the wrong attitude, what's the right attitude? Well, look up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8 has a nice little passage there. It says, "Now he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." See, that second half of that verse 8 part, is the part that, yeah, all sufficiency, all grace, all things, abounding. This is the satisfying. But you can't have verse 8 without verse 6 and 7. That it's not just that you sow, but how you sow, sparingly or bountifully. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Let me ask you, you come into God's presence, you come to church, you go to your quiet time, you open up the Word of God, you go to your Bible study, you go to whatever. What's your attitude when you go in? Can you say, "I'm coming in with a cheerful attitude, I am excited to be in God's presence"? Or you go grudgingly, or you go of necessity. You go to check off on the little guide thing so that when Abuna asks you, you say you did it. Or you come to church because you know you're supposed to come to church and it's the right thing to do and it's a good thing to do. That's why you're coming. You don't get verse 8. All right? Unless there's verse 6 and 7, there can't be a verse 8. Because he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who prays with just a little bit of energy gets just a little bit of results. He who reads the Bible with just hoping to obey just a little bit of it will get just a little bit of the blessing that comes from it. But he who sows bountifully, he who comes in with the attitude of, "I want to spend time in God's presence. It is Sunday morning. It is the day of the Lord. I am coming to hear the Word of God being read to me, to be explained to me, and then to be fed to me right here." And this is the same body and blood of Christ that was there 2,000 years ago and the same power. That's the person who can find this benefit. So again, ask yourself how you enter God's presence. If you're struggling with this one, let me tell you what helps me to enter God's presence in a cheerful and in a bountiful way, is when I realize my own sinfulness. When I look at my life and I examine my life and I see how short I fall of God's standard, It changes the way I come into God's presence.
Sometimes we have a tendency to come into God's presence with an attitude of, God owes me something.
I prayed, God owes me.
I did this, God owes me. We think a little bit too highly of ourselves. We think that we've accomplished something or that God owes us or something like that. Well, when we sit down and look at the truth, and the truth of the matter is, I am a sinful person who has done many, 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 many sins. And I see my unrighteousness, and I see my impurity, and I see all the ways that I'm falling short of God's commands. And then I come into God's presence. I come in with an attitude of, I'm poor, he's rich, and he's trying to help me out. I come in with an attitude, I'm a dead man walking, and he's trying to give me life. That's the kind of attitude that we need to go into God's presence with. That he is the full of riches, and we're just a poor little beggar. But unfortunately, sometimes we go in with the attitude of, we're on equal footing, and we're negotiating, we're compromising here. Or even worse, God forbid, we come into God's presence thinking that we are adding to him in any way. Imagine like a child who lives with his parents. All right, let's say like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid who lives with his parents, and he sees that his parents is going through like some financial difficulties, always fighting about the money, and the dad yells at the mom for buying this and that. So he says they need some extra money, so he wants to help out. So what he does, he goes and he makes himself a lemonade stand, or he buys popsicles and sells them in the school for a quarter, whatever, this and that. And then he comes to his dad at the end of the month, and he says, here, Dad, $7.85. I've been working all month for this. Here's the $7.85. You can use it, and you can take care of the house. You don't have to shut down the house and this and that. What's $7.85 going to do for a $2,000 mortgage, $500 car payment, for the gas prices and oil prices and all this kind of stuff? Doesn't do nothing. The fact that he's given the $7.85 doesn't make any difference in the grand scheme of things. He's going to enjoy the blessings of the house and enjoy all the good stuff in the Father because he has a relationship with the Father. He loves the Father and the Father loves him. Not because he has $7.85. Sometimes we think that our $7.85 gives us the right to demand stuff. Here's my $7.85 and I want to see some changes around here. Here's my or sometimes when we don't have the $7.85, we have only $7.43. Saying, no, I can't go. I can't go to prayer this week. I can't go in the presence of. I don't have enough. Like your 42 cents didn't make any difference in the world. It's the same way with us and God. All your righteousness doesn't amount to one drop in the bucket compared to all this stuff that God has done for you. So when you come into God's presence, you don't come in with any pride or thinking that you've done anything great. You come in as a dead man who is about to be given life. You come in as a poor man who is about to be given money. You come in as a hungry man who is about to be fed food. So with that attitude, we run to God's buffet table. We run into his presence. So the first thing is with eagerness. Now the second attitude that is critically important as well. Let me ask you parents who are with us today. You have a kid. You want your kid to eat a good, healthy, well-balanced dinner at night. What is very important that you do between the time that kid comes home from school to the time dinner is served? You make sure that he or she does not do what? Eat junk, right? If the kid is eating on junk food all day, what's going to happen at dinner time? This is what I used to do all the time. Not that hungry. I don't really have much of an appetite. Why? Because I ruin my appetite eating on junk food. If you want to eat from God's bread of life, you must come in with an empty plate. You must come in with a good appetite. What I mean by that is, again, go back to the food example. A kid who's nibbling on ho-hos and Twinkies and yum-yums and ding-dongs, as appetizing as those are, as delightful as those things taste, and believe me, they taste good, the kid's not going to be hungry when it comes time to eat the vegetables and the chicken and the liver and all this kind of stuff. And the problem with those things is they fill you up kind of temporarily, but they're deceiving. They don't really give you any nutrition. All they do is make you fat. And it's the same thing spiritually. That oftentimes we spend all day nibbling on the spiritual junk food. What's a spiritual junk food? Spiritual junk food is things like my comfort. Spend all day nibbling on it, making myself as comfortable as possible. My image and my ego.
spend all day trying to make myself look like a big man and make myself look sophisticated in front of the people. Could be things like even like my money, my job, TV, my sleep, whatever. If you spend all day nibbling on these little things, this is the world that you live in. It's going to come time to come into God's presence. You're not going to have much of an appetite. You're going to say, eh, I'm not really that hungry. Eh, maybe later. Maybe I'll have an appetite later. Well, that's going to end up ruining you. And just like the physical things, it's deceiving because those things never provide anything of value. I'll tell you when I see this very simply. I invite someone to church. Hey, we're going to have a prayer this night. Come to church. We're going to spend the night in prayer. Come to church. We have a Bible study. Come, we have a retreat. We have something of benefit spiritually. And then the excuses. Meh, I'm busy. Why busy? Thing is, if I come on Friday, I got this thing on Tuesday and I have to be prepared, so I got to rest, make sure I get my sleep, or else I'll be cranky on Tuesday morning. Junk food. You know, I would come, but the thing is Wizards got game 6 on Friday night. How am I going to come to the game? How am I going to come to church to the game? I'll come to church next weekend. Junk food. I would come to church, but I'm not sure what the temperature is going to be. It may be hot. It may be cold. I don't know if I'm in a parking spot. This and that. That's your junk food. You can't be eating on this kind of junk food and expect any kind of benefit from the bread of life. If that's the way you come in with that attitude, you go to someone. Actually, we have a good example. We have Abuna Elisha here who's praying the liturgy with us today, coming from Africa. You go to these people who are serving as missionaries. And you go over there and take a trip to Africa. And you see people walking like 6 miles to come to church. See people walking, like in a day of walking from their village on the Sunday just to be there, to take communion. And you tell them, no, I didn't go to church. Why? I wasn't sure what the temperature was going to be. I didn't want to bring a sweater. Or you tell them, well, I was going to go, but there was an important game on the night before, so I'll just wait till next week. What do you think they'd say to you? That's feeding the world and this kind of junk, feeding yourself with the junk food. That's why everyone has to go. If you want to get rid of the spiritual spoiledness, you got to go serve on a mission trip some way, somehow, because it puts things in a different perspective. And all the excuses that we make about the traffic and the parking and the this and that, it's all nonsense. And you'll never find the bread of life if you come with that kind of attitude. The thing is, this is where, you remember like in Holy Week, we talked all about the crucifying the flesh. We talked about the cross is the only way to the life of glory. Well, where's the cross and where's the crucifying the flesh when it comes to the Holy 50? The crucifying the flesh is not fasting because we don't fast. The crucifying the flesh is in not eating the junk food. Is in not eating the junk food of this world that fills you up from the good stuff. And believe it or not, this ties in very, very much with the thing that we talked about last week, which is faith. Look at the verse up there on your handout, or up there on the screen. So he says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Look at the next verse, verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. And I underline that last part right there. You know the problem that a lot of us have when it comes to this, the junk food? A lot of us don't really believe that the bread can fill us. A lot of us aren't convinced that the bread of life, which Christ can give, can fill me up. So we run to other ways of eating, run to other kinds of foods because it's safer, because there's a risk associated with the bread of life. What if it doesn't work? I have social needs. I need to be popular. I need to have friends. I need to have my ego and this and that. I need to have this kind of image. This is what I need, Abuna Anthony. I'm telling you, Christ can give you the self-esteem that you need. He can give you all your needs. He can take care. He can fill you up. But if you don't believe it, you're never going to get it. And that's what a lot of us do, is that we don't really trust it. You remember on Holy Week, the sermon, we talked about crucifying the flesh. We're talking about how there has to be a point in time where you let go of the old in order to hold on to the new. You only got so many hands. Can't be holding on to two at the same time. All right, and that's what I'm talking about, is the risky part. That are you willing to have faith and step out there? Thing is, this isn't even just a spiritual thing. Back to my buffet example. What's the rule for every buffet line is the same. Every buffet is the same. You come as much as you want, no extra charge, But what's the only rule? That when you come, you use a new what? A new plate. Don't bring your old plate. All right? Don't bring your old plate and add stuff on top of it. Eat what's in your plate. Even throw away what's in your plate. I don't care. But when you come with a new plate. You can't walk up there with six or seven plates in your hand the way that you want to. But wait a minute, it's risky. What if I get up there and there's no plate? You got to be willing to take that risk. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a plate there and there's going to be food. And a lot of us are clinging to the old plate and holding on to it so tight so we'll never get the food from the new plate. So what I'm telling you is when you get hungry, relax. When it's 3 o'clock and you're hungry and you know dinner's at 6, trust. Don't run to the snacks. Don't run to the ho-ho cabinet. Don't eat your candy. Trust that dad and mom will provide dinner at 6. When you get tired and you can't stand up to pray and you want to just run to your bed, trust that if you slept 2 minutes less at night, that God will somehow give you the energy to make it through the day. Even though you missed out on those 2 minutes of sleep, God can take care of that. When you're feeling low self-esteem and you have to defend yourself, you have to fight back, trust that if you turn the other cheek, trust that if you repay good for evil, as our Lord commands us, trust that He'll make it okay in the end. And trust that He'll defend you and He'll be your lawyer, He'll be your judge, He'll be your whatever. Trust that whenever you have any need, that if you do things God's way, He'll take care of you. But you can't have both. You can't be walking up to the buffet line with both of these plates in your hand. Believe me, there is nothing that delights God more than when you come with an empty plate. That when you come up with an empty plate, and to recap our 2 points, you come with an empty plate and a smile on your face. You come with eagerness, which is that smile, because everyone who's serving at the buffet likes it when you treat them nicely. And then you come with an empty plate. He loves to fill that up. But by the same token, there's nothing that makes Him more sad than when He sees us living in the middle of the Denny's, in the middle of the all-you-can-eat, where it's given away for free, and starving with the ribs thing, like I said earlier, extending out. That's why our church is very wise. That's why our church gave us 50 days. 50 days to let this sink in. Because I promise you that everything that God came to do, for those of you who think that God came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the heavens, sent us the Holy Spirit on the 50th day, just so that you could go to heaven when you die, you're sadly mistaken. Because His sacrifice is so much greater than that. It's so much greater than something for when you die. He came, if you want to summarize it all in a nutshell, you could have the bread of life right now. He came to give that bread of life. Yes, there are things that you got to do when you get it, but the overall message that He came to give us the bread of life, and He wants us to eat it. And like I said, that's why the church, for 50 days, will remind us that this bread of life is yours to have. But you got to follow the 2 rules. You got to come with a cheerful attitude, with eagerness, and 2, you got to come with an empty plate. And if you do that, all right, I promise that God will feed you. So let's today, all right, let's run to that buffet table. Let's run like crazy people. Let's run like we just fasted for 55 days and we're ready to go home and just tackle that buffet table. Let's go into God's presence. Today, do the same thing, and tomorrow, do the same thing, and then God will feed us, and glory be to God forever. Amen.